Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I can feel some new expression on my face. I can feel a growing sensation taking place.
Welcome back, 23 After the Hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Scott Arno. He is the security advocate. He is the president of Soho Solutions. And give us that website again, Scott.
TheSecurityAdvocate.com.
There you go. So we're talking about the securing your the digital stuff on your physical assets in a physical world, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's the thing I remind people about. My next book is all about this, the fact that you and I are analog humans. We live in an analog space, but we've got all this digital stuff around us, and we've got to find out how to manage the two together, don't we? And so that's what we're talking about. What are some things that we can do to make sure that we protect the digital content in our physical world?
Well, there are two different angles to look at. It's stuff that gets stolen and people accessing your office. I mean, with your office, it may seem almost obvious, but obviously make sure when the office is closed or no one's in it, every entrance is locked. Mm-hmm. Also, your computer should actually be turned off. The reason for that is that if it's turned on and someone just moves the mouse around a little bit, boom, they're in your network and no one's in the office.
What if there's a password?
Passwords themselves are very easy to get around. What you want to do is have the computer itself encrypted. There are different types of encryptions. One of the main ones is something called sort of a full disk encryption, which encrypts mm-hmm. all of the data on the computer. You can do that basically right through the system itself directly. Mac has something called File Vault, and there's something on Windows computers called BitLocker. If the computer is turned off, that encryption will engage, and even if somebody tries to get in, the data is encrypted and they can't mm-hmm. actually read it. With mm-hmm. a password, it's really easy to get around those.
So I just go and buy an encryption software and put it on my hard drive?
You can buy encryption software, but in all likelihood, if you have a commercial version of Windows, it'll have that BitLocker available.
Oh, I got you.
If you have Mac, it'll have File Vault, and it's not hard to set up.
Windows would be, it's called BitLocker.
BitLocker is the one on Windows, yes. Okay. But there are a number of different things available. The only one I would say people should avoid is something called TrueCrypt, which used to be very, very popular, but it stopped being updated a couple of years ago, so it's not really safe anymore. Mm-hmm. But there are tons of other ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do encryption file by file, which is good, but I realize for a smaller business, that's a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, if you can just hit a checkbox and go, encrypt my system, wait a few minutes, the system's encrypted. When a computer is turned off, someone tries to flip it on, it's encrypted. They can't get in. Whereas if it's just a password, you can actually get around that.
So how do I get back in, though?
Oh, basically it has an encryption key, which is, in effect, a long password.
Ah.
So it sort of converts into it.
What if I forget the long password?
Well, actually,
is it my password?
Passwords don't have to be gibberish. I know you see those a lot. And it's like 20 characters. And you're like, wow, how am I ever supposed to remember this?
Right.
A much better way to go about it is use something called a passphrase, which is instead of like your password is pickles.
Uh-huh.
Okay, instead your password is, my friend Scott in New York likes pickles. He's weird. Okay, so you've got a much, much, much longer password.
Right.
The whole idea when someone's trying to break in, usually they're using a hacking program, a computer to get
mm-hmm.
through, what'll happen is since you've got a much longer password, it's many, many, many more combinations. And it doesn't have to be absurdly long. Like normally you'll hear, say, 8 characters is a good password. That's really not enough nowadays. If
mm-hmm.
someone wants to put the processing power together, they'll break that in a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between 8 characters and 12 characters is 84 million combinations.
Wow.
Not 84 million more, 84 million times as many combinations, just from 4 extra characters. So I would recommend a minimum of 12, and if you can go longer, 16, 20, that's great. Make it a phrase, or make it a few like nonsensical words.
Right.
Like you could, like, correct horse battery staple is one you hear, it's like a joke inside the security
mm-hmm.
industry. You don't use that exact one because it's
mm-hmm.
been used online, and that one they can find. But if it's a few nonsensical words or a phrase, it's not hard to remember. And then, poof, you've got this nice, long, hard-to-break-in password. One of the things to realize about the physical access aspect is if you have your password written down somewhere and someone's in your office, they will look under your keyboard, they will look in the top right-hand drawer, and if it's written on a post it, they have your password and they're right in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing to look at when you're talking about stuff being stolen, this is actually also where encryption is very, very valuable. Let's say that instance where the VA computer was stolen from the vehicle with the, you know, 28.5 million records, which is awful. If that had been encrypted, wouldn't have been an issue. And under a lot of the laws, a lot of the laws that apply actually have exceptions for encryption, because under the law, it could be like HIPAA, for example, or state data breach laws. That data, when it's encrypted, is considered quote-unquote secured data. So as long as someone doesn't get the decryption key, basically the password to open that back up, that data is considered secure, and even though it's been stolen, it's not considered a data breach, and you don't wind up on that lovely wall of shame. Good place to avoid. By the way, the state of California has one of those too. Same sort of thing.
So it's still stolen. It's still stolen, but it's not in jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. They have possession, but what box is stolen is gibberish.
The box is stolen, but the data is not in jeopardy.
For sure. Now, other things to think about in terms of the theft, you want to make sure that the phone or tablet or laptop is as locked down as possible. Certainly you do want to have the password protection in place for a phone or a tablet.
Right.
You can also encrypt those very easily. Some of the newer systems do it automatically, some don't. Usually Apple phones nowadays are automatically encrypted. Mm-hmm. Android phones usually are not, but it's really, really easy to set up in the settings.
Mm-hmm.
Just encrypt the phone, wait, done. Mm-hmm. One other thing you always want to do is make sure that you have backups of all of your systems.
Mm-hmm.
Also not a hard thing to do, but think about what's on your phone nowadays.
You
basically, that's your whole life.
You got to do that. Hey, I got to wrap it up. Good job today.
That.
Thanks for bringing us some really great stuff. Come back soon.
My pleasure. Always love to.
TheSecurityAdvocate.com. Scott Arnou, A-U-R-N-O-U, is how you spell his last name. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.